Amen. Thank you. I tell you, I was trying to get this thing organized back again. I hope and pray each and every one of y'all are doing all right out there for a midweek Wednesday night Bible study. It is good to be able to come into your homes through Facebook. Hi, I'm Pastor Darrell Bailey from People's Valley Baptist Church, and it's a great honor to be with you here tonight. Want to let you know that we're going to continue on with our series tomorrow, Facing a Future Without Fear. And so I thank God tonight as we begin to look at our Bible study. It's a world that's filled with death and pandemic and with evil. And I thank God, how in the world are we going to face the unknowable future? What do we do with our anxiety regarding the days ahead? This study will provide that comfort as we know more about it using the Word of God. And so I thank God we've been talking about the good and evil. And tonight we start talking about the afterlife or the doctrine of hell and heaven. And so I thank God as we continue to look more into the future, Paul encourages us and he wants us to be prepared to cling to the truth and to know what we've been taught. Amen. And so I thank God as we look tonight and begin to realize that what a tremendous blessing it is, the afterlife. And we look at our outline here tonight. If you're able to see this, sometimes I don't always have this thing, but I've got it up close. Hopefully you'll be able to follow with me here tonight as we look at the Afterlife Part 1A on May the 6th, 2020 of 12 IR 5780 of the Israeli calendar as we continue tomorrow facing a future without fear. And so I thank God as we look tonight, the afterlife, it deals with three questions. Is hell a real place? Number two, why was hell created? And number three, who will be in hell? Now, I'm going to tell you, I thank God as these questions, there's about two more questions that will be on the second part of this that we'll get to next time. What happens to people in hell? And where do people go when they die? And so those will be the second two things that we'll cover if the Lord doesn't come back the next time. I thank God tonight, the afterlife, is hell a real place? Why was hell created? And who will be in hell? Amen. You know, I thank God, one of the things that I guess that we look in the newspaper that's often neglected is the obituaries. For the most part, death is something that we'd rather ignore, every one of us. But I thank God as we begin to realize that even as believers, we don't want to be thought as someone that don't think about the future a lot of times, because one of the keys to having a healthy perspective on life is knowing the real truth about death, amen. And so I thank God as we look tonight, we begin to realize that older people get the more that they think about where they're going to be going. And why are we studying this? I'm going to tell you one of the first things is the Bible has a lot to say about death. It has a lot to say about hell. And so I thank God as we look at this tonight and begin to follow it through that we're able to start out as we talk about the afterlife and look at some of the things that we need in our life to understand and not be afraid and to have the know-so of things that Paul wanted us to know, amen. And so I thank God as we look at this tonight and begin to realize how truly blessed that we are. One of the scriptures that I'm going to put up is in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I thank God as we look at this, the Bible tells us that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now, right in between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, there is where chaos began. God did not originally create the earth without form and void, but I thank God in verse 2 the Bible says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God," in other words, the Holy Spirit, "moved upon the face of the waters." I thank God from that Holy Spirit, the movement of the Holy Spirit, signifying a beginning of life, and then began creation into the face. But in between verse 1 and verse 2, chaos began to take place, because right here, God did not originally create the earth without form and void. It became the way after a cataclysmic happening. And the happening was the revolt of Lucifer against God. And he took a third of the angels, which took place sometime in the dateless past. Right in those verses was where that begin to take place, amen. I thank God as we look tonight and begin to realize that in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 4, the Bible says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, notice now, he said, consider. What is he saying? He says, when things are going well for you, be glad. But he says, when trouble comes, I want you to remember that God sends both happiness and trouble, and you never know what's going to happen next. So the King James says, God also has set the one over against the other to be the end that man should find nothing after him. And so I thank God every one of us as we look and realize that it is that wise man that sees these things that we're doing today. Amen. You know, I thank God it's not a verse that you'd put on the Christmas cards, but it does remind us that wisdom of thinking about death. Every one of us got to have wisdom when it comes to the death angel. Amen. And I thank God only a fool would go through his entire life knowing that they're going to die and never preparing for it and thinking about that certainty. And so I thank God tonight as we begin to realize that the most questions that are asked in life today, is there really a literal hell? You know, there's more people asking about that than probably more questions than any other thing that's asked on the internet. Amen. Why was hell created? Who will be in hell? What happens to people in hell? Where do people go when they die? And how can I be sure that I won't go to hell? These are some of the things that people ask all the time on the internet, the questions that's there. Amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, one of the first points that we start out with is that first question that we have tonight. But I thank God hell is mentioned 167 times in the Bible. Sometimes it's named Gehenna, Hades, the pit, the abyss, or the everlasting punishment according to Proverbs 7:27. Well, I thank God, you know, as we look at the Bible in many of the places that it begins to tell us about this, amen, that we begin to realize all of the many places that it talks about hell in there. And I thank God as we look at this and begin to realize all of these scriptures that talks about hell and what they are and what they mean, I'm going to tell you tonight we begin to realize that one of the first things is how many times that hell is actually mentioned, amen. And so I thank God it gets to that first question about the afterlife tonight, and that is hell a real place? Is hell a real place? You know, I thank God tonight as we look and realize about this tonight is that how many people really believe in the existence of heaven and where people live forever with God after they die? You know, there was an old static on that there was about 81% in the times past that believed that there was a heaven, and 13% believed there wasn't. They also, how many believed in hell, and how many people are punished forever when they die? There was 63% that believed yes, and 30% that believed no. But I tell you, I did a new chart on that I'm going to put up in just a minute and talk about that. But before I do, there's two coping mechanisms that people use to use denial when it comes to hell and when it comes to death. Annihilation is one of them, which teaches that the unbelievers are not punished eternally after death, but they are annihilated so that they simply cease to exist. That is not true. That is just nothing but an escape goat of denial and a coping mechanism that people lie to themselves when they talk about annihilation. That is not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't teach that. And the second coping mechanism of denial is called universalism. There are different forms of this, but the basic idea is that because God is good and loving, that he would never condemn anyone to a place of eternal torment. And so in the end, everybody will be saved, and even non-Christians, because of all roads eventually are going to lead to God and going to lead to heaven. But neither one of them are correct. Neither one of them are correct, amen. And so it's sad to say that's the problem with people out today with these coping mechanisms that they have, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize today that the great blessing of this is that we realize in Matthew 25 verses 41 and 46, the Bible says, then shall he say also unto them, on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And then on down further at Matthew 25, verse 46, the Bible says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You know, I tell you, as we look at this and begin to realize that of all the scriptures that talk about the doctrine of hell or the afterlife that's out there right now, amen. Well, I thank God every one of us, as we begin to realize and see this, because one of the things that we see all the time is this. Why do we believe that hell is real and eternal? One of the things is why the believers, believe hell is real, is because Jesus said that it's real. And there's so many scriptures that I said earlier about this that talks about it and is placed on the equality with heaven. I thank God. It is something to be feared as well. And so why that we believe is hell is eternal as well is it's the same word that's used to describe the eternity for heaven as well. Amen. It's everlasting. Torment is forever. Fire is not quenched, and blackness of darkness is forever. And so it's sad, but I'm going to tell you, that is one of the things that we see today that people in so much denial about hell today, amen. But I thank God, this is one of my newest researches back from 2016 that's been updated currently, and that begins to tell us of all the ones that are out there that believe in God. I believe that it was, and look around, actually, and tell you better on this bigger screen if I'm looking at it, is between who believes in what, God, angels, heaven, hell, or the devil. The newest search that on the internet that tells us, 79% that says yes, they believe in God. 11% that says they don't believe in God. Then there's a 10% of uncertainty there. Of all of those of angels, 72% believes in angels. 16% don't believe it. 12% don't know. Out of heaven, 71% believe in heaven. 15% don't believe. 14% are not sure. When we get over to hell, 64% believe in hell, 22% don't believe in hell, and 13% are undecided. And lastly, when we look at the devil, how many people believe in the devil? 61% believe in the devil, 27% don't believe in the devil, and 12% are uncertain themselves. And so I thank God Jesus taught that hell is a real place of judgment, amen. And in fact, there are more verses in which he taught about hell than about heaven. And so I'm going to tell you, as we begin to look and realize, as we look at the explanation is, my goal is to be biblical, not popular, amen. And so I thank God as we look out there, I don't know, I might be having some technical difficulties with Facebook tonight, but I thank God I did a smart thing and actually started taping this with my phone as well. And so either way, I'm going to tape and be able to put it on there. And so if we have technical difficulties and this doesn't come back up, either way it goes, I'm going to be able to still have a copy of this with my iPhone. And so I really have a blank screen right now. I don't know if I'm actually broadcasting through on Facebook or not. I see the camera that's still going. I'm going to just keep on going, amen. But I thank God, one of the things that we begin to see tonight about this is some of the biblical basis for hell, because Jesus taught the existence of hell in Matthew chapter 5, verses 22. I don't know. Right now, it looks like it's still going, amen. And so we're going to keep on going and teaching. But I think God, Jesus taught the existence of hell out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 22 through 30, amen. And one of the things that came out of this, he says, in the danger of the fire of hell that he was talking about. Anyone that says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone that who says you are a fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. And if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. And so I thank God, as we're told tonight, amen, that there's so much about the teachings of hell, amen, that we see. Jesus taught the existence of hell out of Matthew 10, verse 25. He warned, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell, amen. And so I thank God, as we begin to look and realize truly tonight with the afterlife, that we've got so many descriptions of hell. You know, every time that you read in the Bible about hell, it always talks about the location of hell being down. It always talks about the location of hell being down. Let me give you a couple of good examples of that. In 2 Peter 2:4, the Bible says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell," notice that, down to hell, "and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." Look at Psalms 55:15. The Bible says, "Let death size them and let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." Every time that the Bible refers to hell, it does a reference of like being downward, as going down, amen. I thank God, Psalms 55:15, as I read, he tells us here in Proverbs 7:27, "Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death." Notice that, down. Cast them down, amen. Go down alive into hell, amen. Descending into the chambers of death, amen. I thank God. Ezekiel 32:27 tells us, "Who go down to hell with their weapons of war," amen. Isaiah 5 verses 14 and 15, but in verse 14 he says that "Therefore Sheol has enlarged herself, opens its mouth beyond measure, their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and who is jubilant shall descend into it." I thank God. He tells us a little bit further over. He talks about in Ezekiel 26, verse 20, he says, "Then I will bring you down with those who descend into the pit to the people of old, and I will make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in places desolate from iniquity, with those who go down to the pit, so that they may never be exhibited, and I shall establish glory in the land and of the living." Notice every time it talks about the location of hell, it talks about going down, amen. And so you can just continue to go on and on and on that it begins to share that with us and tell us that, about that, amen. And so I thank God of some of the things that we see. And so here we begin to follow up of the biblical basis for hell that Jesus taught the existence of, amen, of Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, that Jesus warned. He said, "Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And so Matthew 11, verse 23, he says, "And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day." And so I thank God. God dealt with all of those wicked places. There were five cities, amen. But you only hear about Sodom and Gomorrah, but there were five of them, amen. And so the Bible teaches us that he destroyed all five of them because of their wickedness, amen. You know what? In the book of Numbers, it gives us description and it tells us, amen, that it talks about how that hell began to come up out of the ground, amen, and take them and engulf them, amen. And so I thank God of all the places that we look and realize that it talks to us about the different places of hell coming in, amen. But I thank God, this is exactly, look here, I got my little Bible, and I thank God in Numbers chapter 16, the Bible tells us from 30 down to verse 33 that it gives us a reference to this. He says, "But if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And it came to pass, he's talking about those of Koran that did evil, amen. And he says, "And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that," listen, "the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation." Boy, I'm going to tell you, every time that I've talked about it, you know, there was a time back during the Old Testament that there were two locations. Hell, throughout the ages, you had time past, you had but now, and you had the ages to come. But I thank God, before the dispensation of grace, there were two compartments. Paradise side, where the saints in times past was on that side, Abraham's bosom, and then those that went to Hades or hell went to the torment side of the lost, amen. But I thank God, from the moment that the dispensation, when Christ came, I thank God he began to change things. And 3 days he went down in the belly of the earth and he began to take the keys from hell. And boy, I'm going to tell you, he began to take those ones from that location and transfer them into the very presence of heaven where they are today. And I thank God that's exactly where they are. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so I thank God we've got people now that if they know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, they are no more nothing down low as all the Bible referenced to. But I thank God they're up with the Lord. Hallelujah. They're up on high. And I thank God where they are, that's where we want to be, in the very presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. When we leave this walks of life, boy, thank God. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you, every one of us have got something to look forward to because our name's been recorded in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Boy, I thank God right now. But I thank God also we begin to realize that Jesus taught the existence of hell out of Matthew chapter 13, verses 49 and 50. Jesus added to those who reject him, he says, this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hallelujah. Boy, I thank God that he begins to tell us. He says he taught in the existence of hell. Amen. He says in Matthew 13 and 14, Matthew chapter 13 verses 49 and 50. Amen. But he goes on in Matthew 22 verse 13. He says, then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Boy, I thank God every one of us, when we look at Jesus begin to teach on the existence of hell, he says in Matthew 23:23, he says, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Amen. Boy, I thank God Jesus did some preaching. Amen. He spoke the truth to those. He didn't hold anything back. Amen. And I thank God in Matthew 23:23 that he said that. Amen. But Matthew chapter 25 verse 41, the Bible says, in his great Mount Olive discourse, our Lord declared, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me who are cursed into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Amen. Boy, I tell you, Jesus began to teach about the existence of hell. And if you want to know about hell, you need to hear from the word of God, because there's nothing that's more powerful and there's nothing that gives us directly from the link himself what we need to know about hell and the doctrine and the afterlife and for the future coming. Amen. And so I tell you, in Mark chapter 9 verses 43 through 47, the Bible says, elsewhere he affirmed, if your hand causes you to sin, to cut it off, that it's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell with the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, to cut it off, and it is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. He says, and if your eyes causes you to sin, to pluck it out, because it's better for you to enter in the kingdom of God with one eye rather than to have 2 eyes that'll be thrown into hell. Praise God. Boy, I tell you, Jesus taught it just like it was taught. Praise God. In Luke chapter 16 verse 19 through 31 verses, amen, he began to tell him, he says, and he answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, and let him warn them so that they will not also come into this place of torment. Let me stop you right there. You know what there's a lot of theologians think they're doing? They say when they read this out of Luke chapter 16, that this right here was a parable, that it was not a literal thing. Let me tell you something. In the Bible that I read, there were 38 parables in the Bible by Jesus, and every time that he had a parable, he never used a personal pronoun out of not of the 38 of them. But brother, let me tell you this. When he began to talk about the literal of hell and heaven, he used names. And when I just read this, he used the name of a rich man and he used the name of Lazarus. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to tell you, it was a literal place that Jesus was talking about. I tell you, when I read this, that's exactly what Jesus meant when he taught on the existence of hell. Praise God. Boy, I thank God, listen, every one of us, that he began to tell us in Luke chapter 16, that he goes on, that he says, then have Moses and the prophets, let them listen to them. He says, for no father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. And so I thank God Jesus began to tell them the word of God. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you, of all the verses that teach about hell, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9, this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power from on high, praise God. Boy, I thank God. Hebrews 9:27 said, just as man is destined to die once, and after that, to face the judgment. Boy, I tell you, every one of us, we realize 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, for if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into the gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. Boy, I thank God, listen, every one of us, that's the biblical basis for hell, amen, that we have tonight. Jude tells us in Jude chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, that it goes into it. I could go on and on and on, amen, as you begin to see. Even in Revelation 19, 20, the Bible says, but the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet that had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. And with these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. And the two of them were thrown alive in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Boy, their day's coming. Every defective falseness that's out there today, all the demons in hell got their day coming, praise God. But I'm going to tell you something. That's another subject, but the devil is alive and well out there. You know, he ain't burned up in no hell. He's doing all the wrong and all the havoc that he can ever do, praise God. And so Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, that it tells us other verses that talks about hell. He says, then I saw a great white throne, and him who seated on it, earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead and great and small standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Listen, the books. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Boy, I'm going to tell you. You know, every one of us today, as we realize, I remember Adrian Rogers one time, he was talking about these two preachers, they were getting together, and that one preacher said, you know what, he says, I got carried away the other day, and I preached for about 2 hours, and you know what, I don't think nobody really even cared. And Adrian Rogers said, I believe they did, brother. I said, you know, you can only take in so much scripture and so much things, amen. And so I thank God, as this is a lot of scripture to take in tonight, amen. But I hope and pray in my time frame as I look at tonight and try to hurry up and close this down. Matthew 25, 26, the Bible says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal, amen. Boy, I thank God, all the scripture that we have tonight, John 5, 24, that he says all of this. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's how I know. I know that I know that I know that I'm saved by God's marvelous grace. I don't have a bit of doubt. I know that I'll never see the depths of hell, amen. You say, boy, that ain't courageous, and hey, it ain't nothing but the truth, and it's what the Word of God. I just read it to you, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. I tell you, every Christian across this earth has got confidence in the Word of God and what Jesus has told us. That is the promise that we've been given, hallelujah. He said what? He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so I thank God, John 5, as we continue on, and he tells us, he says in verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, amen, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I thank God, as we look tonight and begin, like, who is the one who judges and does the separating? Jesus is the only one that can do that. He's the only righteous one, amen. He's the only one that has that power and authority, hallelujah, that will be separating the goats from the sheep. And I thank God that it'll be coming one of these days, amen. Boy, I thank God. Acts 17:31, the Bible says, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereupon he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Boy, I thank God. Boy, praise God. And so that brings us to our second one. Not only is hell a real place, because of all the scriptures that I've read, I wore you out with scriptures in this Bible study tonight about Jesus' teaching on hell. And so hell is as real as I'm sitting right here on Facebook tonight, amen. And I thank God it is always referenced to downward in the Bible, amen. But I thank God when the dispensation of grace, when Calvary, well, I thank God when Jesus came, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave, amen. He took those ones from the Old Testament time up into the very heaven, amen, up into the third heaven, amen, where they are today. And I thank God that's exactly where those saints of old, when they pass away today, they go directly into the presence with the Lord. But when his second coming comes, they're going to come back, praise God. And man, there's going to be an atoning for our bodies, praise God, because we're going to be up and out of here and raptured out. And bodies, amen, are going to be able to get back, and God's going to do some miraculous things, amen. And that's another subject. But I thank God, why was hell created is the question that so many people ask today. You know, I thank God that is a good question, amen, that many of us go into so many times in our life. But I thank God as we look and realize through this, that who is the one that judges, amen? Who is the one that does the separating? Jesus is that only righteous one that can do those things, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize that why was hell created? Hell was not created originally for any human being, but listen, it was created for Satan and his angels, amen. It wasn't created. That third of those angels, amen, boy, of the wickedness that they've done over the times of creation, where they started to infiltrate the giants, amen, back in the day, amen. That's why the Lord had to bring a flood upon this earth, amen, because of the wickedness that Satan and those angels had done. Some of them are already locked up in the abyss, of four angels that are locked up in that abyss, amen. Boy, I see now my screen's come back up, amen. I've been preaching tonight with a blank screen. I didn't know whether if I was on or not, but praise God, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit's got a groove going right now. I'm going to try to keep this going and close out here shortly with my third question that I have tonight, amen. But I thank God, why was hell created, amen? It was created for Satan and his angels, amen. Matthew 25:41, the Bible says, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels," amen. Boy, I thank God, every one of us, I've got down below it, if you can see this, I don't know how good you can see this screen on there, but I thank God, I got the English version right up underneath the King James version, and it says, "Then he will say to those on his left, Away from me, ye, you that are under God's curse, and away to the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels," amen. And so contrary to popular opinion, Satan is not yet confined to hell, amen. There's a lot of folks that think he's already confined to hell, but he's loose, amen. He's out there doing more damage than he's ever done, amen. And so I thank God he now resides on earth. And so he's busier than he's ever been doing all of the wrong that he does, amen. And so these are the angels that have followed Satan when he tried to lead a rebellion against God in heaven. I took you all the way back earlier in my Bible study, and I showed you scriptures of Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and verse 2 about how that there was void and darkness right there. And that was the moment in scripture when that took place, amen, that changed everything of what Satan did, because he was so stuck on himself. He had so much pride, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize that hell is no accident. It's a place that's been prepared by God. And I tell you, as it talks about depart, it tells us that God would prepare such a place, amen. Satan and his angels are originally, they were with God in heaven, but they left God's presence by their own choice, amen. And Satan chose to live outside of God's presence. His residence is now on our earth, but it cannot always remain that way, praise God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I thank God contrary to all the things. And so I thank God we look at John 12:31, the Bible says, "Now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the prince of this world be cast out." There's going to be a day coming, amen, that he will get what's coming to him, amen. But right now, he's very much active, amen. Satan can live apart from God on earth, even as many people in this world live a life separated from God, amen. That's the choice that Satan made. But I'm going to tell you, what will happen when this earth is no longer a place where you can live separate from God, amen. You know what? I thank God one day, according to the book of Revelation, and I thank God as I put that up, one day according to the book of Revelation, God is going to cast Satan, he's going to cast death, he's going to cast everything into the lake of fire, he's going to destroy it once and for all, amen. But we haven't got to that point yet, amen. But I thank God we better be getting ready, because so many people today, you say, man, you know, it ain't popular to be preaching about hell. You know it's not, but it's something that we need to know about, because every one of us needs to tell somebody about the afterlife, the doctrine of hell. And I tell you, if they don't hear it from you and see it in your life, where are they going to see it from? Amen. And so Revelation 20:10, the Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Can you imagine that? You know, can you imagine being tormented? You know, some people think they're just going to be in hell and burn up and it's going to be over with. But listen, you're going to be tormented as long as eternity is for heaven, is as long as hell is going to be eternity for hell. Who wants to be going through all of that torment? Boy, I tell you, have you ever hit your finger with a claw hammer? Man, how that pain throbs. Well, man, you know what? The pain will be throbbing the rest of your life, amen, when it comes to hell, if we don't make the right choices with our life, amen. And I'm going to tell you, you know what? I heard a pulpit committee one time, and they came in, and this preacher came in. He preached a good message. Then this other preacher come in, and he preached the same exact message that the other preacher. But when the pulpit committee got done, they chose that second preacher. Well, you know, that got the mind of that preacher gone. He found out that that first preacher used the same scripture that he preached. You know, and oh man, that preacher, he had to go to me. He went to that pulpit committee. He said, listen, I heard that the first preacher that y'all didn't choose, he preached the same message that I preach. Why did y'all choose me for your pastor? Boy, that pulpit committee came back and they said, that preacher, when he preached, he didn't have any compassion when he began to talk about hell. He enjoyed preaching about it. He said, but brother, when you preached about hell, man, there was an humbleness about you that you cared about those that you were preaching about hell to. And I tell you, that's exactly what it takes, a burden for us to have today, praise God, that we're going to be able. And so the doctrinal basis for the existence of hell, that God's justice, it demands a hell, amen. In Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13, you are of pure eyes and to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness, amen. Romans 2:11, for there is no partiality with God. Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Amen. Boy, I thank God the Bible asserts that God is love in 1 John 4:16, but love cannot act coercively, only persuasively. A God of love cannot force people to love him. He must allow them to reject him or forever be in hell. And so I'm going to tell you, he doesn't want a couple of robots, amen. He don't want to make you accept him as your Savior. You got free will. You've got a choice whether you want to accept him or you want to reject him. Boy, I thank God, you know what? I remember, because when I was a little kid, I rejected the Lord. I rejected him that morning. But thank God, I tell you, in September of 1972, I went back to church that night. Man, I tell you, the Lord was knocking at my heart, and I was glad that he was. Man, I tell you, I got tired of putting my fingerprints into that back pew. I got up, and I went down to that altar and got saved, amen, under the gospel preaching, hallelujah. Boy, I thank God, God's sovereignty, it demands a hell. Unless there is a hell, there's going to be no final victory over evil. For what frustrates good is evil. And so there must be an ultimate separation of evil from good, or else good will not triumph over evil, according to Matthew chapter 13, verses 40 and 41, amen. And so God is absolutely perfect. I'm going to tell you something. If you get to look at, you know, how many folks out there, they look at somebody, this preacher you preach, hey, I'm preaching, that I ain't perfect. Hey, I'm saved by God's marvelous grace, but I'm not saying I'm perfect. I make mistakes all the time, amen, and I try to live for the Lord. And boy, I tell you, I let the Holy Spirit lead and guide me and rule and be over control. But I'm going to tell you, there's times in my life that this old fleshly nature does wrong, and I have to get down on my knees. But I'm going to tell you something. You might see a brother out there or something, and you say, you know what? Hey, I can't listen to that brother preach, because look out there what he's doing, amen, that preacher, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. When that preacher comes under the authority of the Holy Spirit of God, boy, I'm going to tell you, God's a anointing is upon him. You're listening to the Lord speak, amen. God's speaking through that man, amen. Boy, I tell you, it doesn't matter about those things. I remember reading about this pastor one time. He said, why, man, I had a brother-in-law came over, and man, why, he had a Corvette. He pulled up in my garage door, and before he could get out of there, I had a couple folks coming by, and they said, I ain't never giving no money in that to that church again. Look at that preacher, what he's driving over there. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. You know what? It doesn't matter about all of those things. Man, it's level at the foot of the cross. I tell you this all the time, amen. I'm not no better or no bigger in heaven when that day comes than you are, praise God, as a child of God. I tell you, I say that with all respect and humbleness in my heart, praise God. And so I thank God, every one of us, our job is to preach the word of God, yours as well. You might not be a preacher, but you're a witness, amen. And you've got to be able, even when it comes to things like the afterlife or the doctrine of hell or heaven, amen, that it's a gloom and doom thing, amen. But I thank God, the Bible says that human dignity demands a hell, amen. Boy, I thank God. Look at there. My screen just come back up again. Boy, I tell you, if you ain't talking about technical difficulties tonight, amen. Boy, I tell you, I believe nobody don't want this preach tonight or talk. But boy, I'm going to tell you, I thank God. The Bible says in Matthew 23, verse 37, he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who will kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Boy, I tell you, I ain't nothing like a whooping like that. I remember when I was a little boy, I'd be getting out in a chicken house. I thought I'd mess with them little chicks. Why, that mother hen got over there and flogged me. Boy, I tell you, she really wasn't hurting me, but I thought she was. Man, I went back running to mama and crying, amen, because I got flogged by that old mother hen. But that mother hen was doing exactly what she's supposed to do. She was protecting her little chicks, amen. It was me that was wrong, that was going to go. Boy, I tell you, I'm glad we got a mother hen. As Mother Day's coming up, there ain't nobody going to protect family like mother does. Man, I tell you, woo, thank God. Listen, that mother loves her family, praise God, and she's going to protect them. And the best way that we can tell them is we can tell them the truth. And the cross of Christ implies about there's a hell, amen. I tell you, Romans 3:21 down to verse 3:26, it says that only through the cross can we be delivered from our sins, amen. If there is no hell to shun, then the cross was in vain. And if hell does not exist, then Jesus died for nothing. And I'm going to tell you something. He died for something, praise God, because he washed all of the sins out of my life. And so it brings us to our third question. Not only is hell a real place, why was hell created? But lastly, in closing, and I thank God, who will be in hell, amen? Who will be in hell? Well, I'm going to tell you one of the first things I'm going to tell you. You know, a lot of people say, well, so-and-so is going to be. Well, you know what? I remember one of my uncles, and man, why, he was a drunk. But boy, when he got saved on his deathbed, boy, that was cutting it close. But I thought about that. I wonder how many, maybe you don't know. You don't know what in their breath that they might have asked the Lord. I've had some people in the church that the family member passed away and they got burdened about it. And they didn't know, amen, but the Lord come back in a dream and let them know that they're there. But I'm going to tell you, there's nobody really actually knows that, but that's between you and the Lord, amen. But I'm going to tell you, boy, I tell you, there's a fruit that's there that shows the evidence a lot of times, amen. And many of us, as we look at that, they might be Christians out there that ain't living like they're supposed to for the Lord, amen. But I thank God, every one of us, we've got a right to live and have our testimony shown to those that are out there today, amen. And so I hope and pray that as we look at this tonight and get ready to close out about hell, amen, who will be in hell, amen. We were all headed for eternity without God in hell. But I thank God in Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I thank God, he says, Jesus came to rescue us from this certainty of separation from God. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Thank God for that assurance, amen, that we have. And then he says, those who trust Jesus are rescued. Boy, I'm glad that I've been rescued. I'm glad that I don't have to worry about when I lay down my eyes and close them and sleep at night. that no matter what happens, that I've been under the blood of Jesus. Amen. My name's been written down in the Lamb's book of life. My name's been recorded in the Lamb's blood. Hallelujah. And so Hebrews 7:25, the Bible says, wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. And so those that do not trust Jesus are not rescued from hell and separation from God. You know what? The biggest part of that separation is knowing that you're never going to be around a heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, that's sad because there's nothing like a relationship. I wonder how many of you right now have been forced to talk to your wife or your husband more than you ever have. Can you imagine going through life and never talking to your husband or never talking to your wife? That's what the relationship about Jesus Christ is all about. Amen. Boy, I thank God that's what's so great, that there won't be a separation. And it will be eternally with him. 1 John 5:11-12 gives us that assurance. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. The testimony of this, God has given us eternal life. And this life has its source in his Son. Boy, I thank God. John 3:18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. You rejected him. You refused him. Now, thank God in John 3:3, when Nicodemus approached Jesus about being from God, Jesus answered him. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I put this as a reminder. Because I remember Bob Dowry preached at our church years ago. And I remember one message that he told me about that he preached, amen. And that message, Bob Dowry was out of Calhoun, Georgia. And he preached a message on hell, the journey into hell, about the imaginary journey. And what Bob Dowry did is this. He had some folks that came in and they staged all of the cries from hell. And while he was preaching his message, I don't know whether he had a button recorded or they were live there, but boy, when you listen to the message, they were cries from hell. And all of the ones, he did one on Pilate, and how that Pilate's wife said, don't have nothing to do with this man. Even it doesn't matter if you wash your hands are just as bloody as they've ever been. And boy, when he hit that button or whatever happened, the cries from hell would cry out from that message. Boy, if it wasn't a nerve-wracking, amen. But I'm going to tell you, a message that I heard a long time back, and this was what it was called. He says, on your way to hell, stop by Calvary. And I'm going to tell you, folks, there might be somebody out there listening tonight that on your way to hell, you need to stop by Calvary, amen, and you need to check in. Because throughout the ministry, Jesus indicated that hell is a punishment that lasts forever. And though it was prepared as a place of punishment for Satan and his demons, hell is also where those who fail to follow Jesus will go, according to Matthew chapter 25, verses 41, all the way down to 46. Now, thank God, as I close out, this is my personal perspective about the life after death. What about the people I love? What about the people I love? I'm talking about the afterlife. I've got people that I love, and they're already passed on. What about them if we don't know? If they're still living, don't give up hope on them. Keep on praying, because as long as they're alive, hey, there's still hope. Listen, I don't tell you, people think that they can pray somebody out of hell when they're dead. That's too late. There is no hope. But as long as they're still alive, don't give up hope. Keep on praying and keep on witnessing for those lost loved ones, because that ought to be a burden on your heart. Hallelujah. And I tell you, I'll say one final thing as we close out tonight, and that is, if they're already dead, you got to trust them to God, because you don't know whether in their moment of death that God heard them. I'd never take a chance like that. But maybe somewhere before death quickened out their life, that maybe they got a lost sinner's prayer through. Lord, save me a sinner. Change my life. Come into my heart and life and be the keeper of my soul, because you don't know that. Nobody knows that but the Lord and that individual for sure. But I'm going to tell you, if they already died, trust them to God. Hey, if they're still living, don't give up hope. Boy, I thank God. Thanks for tuning us in. If the Lord does come back next Wednesday night, May the 13th, 2020, we're going to be talking about the last two things on the topic of the afterlife, and that's going to be basically dealing with, I thought I had those in front of me, and I may not, but I believe I do. Let me see if I look somewhere right here if I have that close by, and see if I'll be talking about those two. But, Lord, let me see. I would do something like that, amen. Because sometimes I don't get to pay my notes no attention. I just go on and let the Holy Spirit take over, amen. But I thank God, maybe two last questions that I do have, and probably because I'm looking for them, probably why I can't find them, amen. But anyway, we'll get into that next time. Last thing, I think I've got it somewhere right here. Lord, let me find it real quick. And I'm almost there. Hang on. And I'll close out tonight with a word of prayer. And that is next time that we'll be talking about in the afterlife as we close this out. These two questions. What happens to people in hell emotionally, physically, spiritually? And where do people go now that they're dead? The progressive relation of afterlife in the Bible and the intermediate state and the resurrection of the body. And so I thank God for you listening to us tonight. I want to pray for you tonight, because if there's something that you're going through, especially as our People's Valley Baptists out there, and they mean so much to us and Lita, they have been my family for a long time, and I've been so blessed by being with them. But I want to just lift them up tonight, and along with all of the others that are out there tonight that are heavy-hearted, I still send out our regards of heaviness and grief to Sister Sheila Senior. And for those families where the death angel has come into their homes, I want to just lift them up. Father, tonight, thank you for this great opportunity and this Wednesday night Bible study. Lord, I thank you for our deacons. I thank you for every member, Lord. Lord, they're a tremendous blessing. And I pray your blessings around each and every one that is not only listening to our Bible study tonight, but I pray, God, that you'll intervene into their areas, Lord. Lord, areas that nobody else knows. Lord, I do know about people's lives, but I can't say nothing about some things. Lord, but you know about it. Lord, there's one burden that I have on my heart for a family. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll intervene and remove every bit of that addiction and every bit of that is harming that individual, Father. And Lord, that can do no good. I pray, Lord, that you will work a miracle in the making and remove every bit of that bad habit, Lord, that is causing a problem, Lord, with them. They don't realize it now, but it will. But Lord, I pray in your name tonight that you'll help those that have the virus, those that are working on a cause to cure the virus, those in healthcare, all those in leadership tonight. And Lord, I pray tonight, may we come together in fellowship and strength, Lord, that you'll bless our deacons as they meet tonight. And Lord, all that we're doing to honor you, Father, that you'll just strengthen us in our church. And every choice that we make, may it give glory and honor to you. And may it be healthy and may it be wise for us as we continue forward in Jesus' marvelous mighty name. May we lay our heaviness and our heads upon your mighty shoulders tonight, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we just give everything over to you, into your care, and trust you in the heaviness of our hearts for our people, family at People's Valley, and for all of our churches that are tuning us in, that are listening, that are brothers and sisters of Christ, and especially for that lost individual that needs salvation. Lord, we got hope for them. We're never going to give up on them, because we want to see a heart's desire that you'll save them by your marvelous grace in Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you tonight for tuning us in. And hopefully as I'll try to end this tonight where this thing comes back up, may God bless you as our prayers. We love every one of you. Keep us in your prayers as well. And may God bless you.